Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown and I am joined by two of my brothers, Scott and JK. We want to encourage everyone to rate and review the podcast. Give us 5-star reviews because we're freaking awesome. Also give 5-star reviews to all the other content creators because without exception, they are awesome.
Four and a half stars so we have an edge.
That's exactly right. That's right. You should rate everyone. One of you should rate Hello There, Momentous Struggle, and Chatterpoint with a 4-star review. Just one of you. And then we will maintain our perfect lead. We just for the quick content roundup. So everyone's been releasing podcast episodes recently, but the ones that I really want to call out are Hello There and Momentous Struggle. Both have the Adepticon champion, Matt Butcher. On to talk about his list building in the tournament. They are really, really good episodes. Matt obviously did very well. He won Adepticon, which is awesome. He did a really good job talking about he ran Dooku Mama in all of his top 8 matches, and he talks a lot about kind of how the matchups work, how his games worked. I think he is very humble and talks a lot about how dice broke his way or how he got a little bit lucky. And obviously, these are dice games and people get lucky. But I think he underplays a little bit his talent. One thing he talks about is how he gets a lot of reps in. He has got a ton of reps in over the last few months. And I think that is obviously core to his success. Obviously, it is better to be lucky than good, but you need both luck and skill in order to win these things. So I highly encourage everyone to check out those episodes. Momentous Struggle also had a recent episode with Professional Casual Network, who they've been working with to do content. Like, that's who they worked with in order to cover Adepticon. So some great episodes. Upcoming tournaments in Utah, Mythos Games is having a tournament on April 27th. We've got details for it in the Slack. And you can ask anybody if you have any other questions. I actually think it might be full or very close to full. It's a smaller tournament, but it's filling up quick. Zi-Fi Invi is full. We are at 32 players and we are capped. So if you are not in, I don't think it's worthwhile to try and get on the wait list because I just don't think, we're going to be having any capacity. So sorry if you didn't sign up by now, then joke's on you, sucker. But it's going to be an amazing, awesome tournament. One thing I wanted to call out before we jump into the main topic, or before we start talking about our games and the main topic, is when there are big tournaments or large-ish tournaments that happen, I want to just quickly call out those results just so people kind of have a sense of what's going on. And the one that I wanted to call out is a tournament from France. I don't know how you say this. Hôtes de France? I'm sorry, people in France. You are not listening to this podcast because I am speaking my hick English, but if you are, I apologize for brutally mispronouncing that. But it was a 12-person tournament, and Carrior won running Maul Vader. Maul Vader went 3-0. So, and it also, Maul is in each of the top 5 lists, which is kind of wild. Maul, I think, we all know how good Maul is. But I think that what is super interesting about Maul is that even as the meta has settled around these very strong core figures, with Dooku, with Mama, with Jango, Maul is obviously right up there. Just because of his incredible flexibility his dynamic activations, he's just an absolutely incredible figure. So 12-person tournament, falls in each of the top 5 lists. Vader Maul took the day, but I do not have what the actual strike team was, but I just wanted to call that out. Let's talk about some recent games that we've been playing and units that we're excited about. JK, start us off.
So I recently played 2 separate Ewok list games. Both ran Logre, and so Logre, Poplo, and Trappers. Yep. And then I varied between the other two. One I ran Leia, Obi-2, and Bar-2.
Yep.
And then the other one I ran the remaining Ewoks, so Chirpa, Wicket, and Hunters.
Yep.
And I got, so I played against Kenny.
Yep.
Kenny, you want to run down your list?
So that game, that was the list I was running. Vader, Plo. I was running Vader, Rex, Arfs, Plo, Sabe, Handmaidens.
Yep. And I got off to a little funky start just spreading out. Couldn't get exactly where I needed to go. Some large bases interrupted me.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the issue that I ran into with the game was I pulled Shatterpoint, Leia, and Logray very late.
Yep.
And if you're not able to really swarm on those boards or with your Ewoks, you have a very hard time getting where you need to go.
Yes.
And that was the biggest issue I ran into there. The other game I played was against Curtis, who was running a kind of a jank list, Hondo, Maul, as his two primaries with a couple other things. And the issue with that one was I had a lot of dice that just didn't break my way.
Yeah.
I had a couple different times to win the first struggle, kept losing, kept swinging short. And then by the time the second and third struggles hit, he had stabilized just enough that he was able to do a lot of out of activation movement, and I just couldn't get to where I needed to go.
Yeah. JK and I, so if you're not on the Slack, you should be on the Slack, but if you're not on the Slack, JK and yeah. I, we have talked a lot about the Ewoks over the last week, because like JK said, I think the problem with the Ewoks, their biggest problem, in addition to the fact that they are very, I think, very card order activation dependent or fragile, is that they do not have diceless displacement. And that is yep. like a list. It is a list with no diceless displacement. So if you are running in, right. if you're running into Dooku, if you're running into Luke, there are lots of things you can be running into where you are, the only way through is through. And that is very, very tough in terms of saying like, in order to take this point, I either need to get more bodies on it or I need to attack Dooku, right? And that's just that's yep. not a good place to be. Generally.
Yeah. And they're, I think they need the secondary of C-3PO's abilities. Mm-hmm. The issue is it needs to be universal. So you can hit everyone in the area
yep.
and not just four away. I think if you had something in there, you would probably help a bit, because they don't have steadfast either without C-3PO, but C-3PO is also just the dead activation.
Yes.
And so it's hard to, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Yeah.
I think they're in a tough spot right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're unworkable. I think you also need to be on shifting priorities. We can go into this another time a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I think shifting priorities, and you just really want to take 2 points on struggles 2 and 3 and just have all of your bodies on those 2 points and not try to take the third, not worry about it, is probably the way to go with them.
Yeah.
But I need to think about it more.
Yeah, I should say, like, JK's right in terms of they're not unworkable, but I have played against Ewoks around 5 times, I think, and I've never seen them perform very well. And that's probably because I'm running lots of defensive units. I'm running Dooku, I'm running Luke, and that's just harder for them. Even if, what's crazy is that Luke is difficult to expose, you know, depending on where he is in the activation deck. And Dooku, even if you expose him, he's going to have magnas around him. He's going to be able to spend force in order to get rid of your hits. So I don't know. I just feel like it's very tough. If you run into units like that, you can just have kind of a tough time. But I don't know. We'll see how the Ewoks turn out. And like JK said, we will absolutely, as more reps are played with them, we'll do an episode breaking down where we think they're actually at. I'm not super optimistic for them, but I would love to be wrong. Okay, Scott, tell us about your recent games.
Yeah, so I played 3 recent games, all with the same list, with some interesting differences. So the first game I played against Curtis, and the thing that I ran every time was Vader Dooku. Pretty yep. straightforward. The only difference was instead of the traditional ARFs, I ran Bartu. So it was Vader, Obi-2, Bartu, and then Count Dooku, Jango, Magnus. And I ran up against Curtis, who was running Vader Inquisitors. He was running Obi-2 instead of Reva.
Yep.
But he was running the Inquisitors. And it was an interesting game because it was incredibly close, which I was surprised about. He never ended up wounding a force user, so his force economy got a little weak. But I lost the first struggle, and as I commented to Kenny after the game, because we were all playing in the same room,
yeah,
I think maybe it was the fourth or fifth game I've ever played where I won the game by winning struggles 2 and 3 and losing the first one.
Hmm.
So it was really interesting because Fifth Brother was really hard for me to deal with, particularly with Bartu.
Yeah.
Who they have basically one push that they're going to push out. So I have to hope to wound because he's not getting pushed.
Yeah.
And I did 4 damage each attack, which ended up being 6 damage on him. So that basically put me down in tempo and caused me to lose the first struggle. I won the second struggle because, generally speaking, that's you're going to be advantaged to do so. And then the third struggle was just, I was able to come in with better force economy. I was able to do some tricksy stuff with Django. My Vader made some good moves, good plays. And, I pulled it out. But it was a really interesting game. Inquisitor's heel worked for Curtis really well. Fifth Brother worked for him really well. So it was a really interesting game. And then I played against you, Kenny.
Yep.
Where you were running, I think you ran the same list in both games, but you were running Vader Ahsoka. So you're running Vader, Arfs, Obi-2, and Ahsoka, Barriss, and Wolfpack.
Yep.
And the first game we played, I called it 4 or 5 activations in. I think the tempo went against me so hard. You were able to basically move Vader and Obi-2 up to prevent me from being able to really take a point. And it just became like, well, we might as well start over because this is just going to be kind of a downward hill from here.
Yeah.
Which, we then modified the terrain a little bit because I was like, hey, I think it's a little cluttered for my taste. And, not necessarily that it was like advantaging one player or the other. It's just like, I don't love cluttered terrain. And the second game went a lot more even, I think.
Yeah.
You still won struggle 1, mm-hmm. but then I was able to pull out a win on struggles 2 and 3. And I think really the third struggle that came down to, and really what happened, is just Ahsoka is really great for being able to move things around, but as having force projection, she and Barriss, really good for pushing things off, really good for sneaking on, taking points. But when you just need to wound something, and you had your Vader for that, but everything else sort of, even with Vader dice, struggled to put that damage out when you compared it to my list, which had, Vader, Dooku, Magnus, Jango, all things, and, Obi-2 as well, that are putting out a decent amount of damage potential, if not really.
I mean, the thing is that Obi-2 is going to one-shot the Arfs. He can't one-shot the Wolf Pack, but he's going to one-shot the Arfs. And it's very tough because, like, Barriss, if she takes Vader dice, now she's one-shottable, right, by Obi-2. And I think Vader Dooku, I would be interested to get some more plays with Vader Dooku into Mama Dooku and vice versa. Because they're kind of, like, opposite ends where Vader is obviously bringing the aggression and Mama T is bringing, holding down the aggression. I'd be interested to see kind of the reps on that in terms of the matchup, but it just feels like such a strong list. That was the list I ran at that Toten Tricycle tournament where you just feel like you have no bad activations, right? No, I ran it at the time where Bartu wasn't released. I was Arfs, which Arfs and Bartu are super interesting because Arfs are only benefiting Vader, but they allow Vader to make attacks into Dooku, right? Because now Dooku can't, if he gets exposed, he is going to be a sad panda. And so it's really interesting in terms of what the right pairing is. I think generally Bartu is very, very good with Vader because they can take advantage of his dice, but I don't know, I guess.
Well, if you think about what they're getting, so Arfs, right? They're getting for a force, a hunker and a dash.
Yep.
Their attack is, pretty middling.
Yep.
But it's 7 dice, so that's something. And then you have, with the expose, you've got a really good condition, right? It's like the number one thing that they're offering.
Exactly right.
With Bartu, you are getting, at least for the first turn, a advance, which makes them incredible for just snagging 2 points. in the first activation, or just being able to flip around and do something. So you've got that benefit, but then you also have, you know, a dash if there's enemies around, so you still always have that. Then you have the ability to add a total of 4 dice for a force. You risk being exposed if you roll 2 failures, but I actually find that that's a pretty okay exchange, because totally. It's actually not super likely that you're going to roll 2 failures, even with those dice.
Yeah,
it can still happen, but like I've definitely seen it not happen plenty of times.
Yeah.
So you have some options there that I think are good. And so I see how for certain lists, if you're running other stuff, ARFs might be the better choice. But Bartu offers some offensive flexibility, some movement flexibility. And, you know, frankly, it's just really, really nice that they can heal people's conditions.
Yeah.
When they start their activation.
Non-trivial. And also the fact that they can't be attacked with ranged attacks if they are in your order deck. They're just very, I think they're very flexible and they can just be very strong. So, all right. So my recent game, so I played a bunch of games this week. I played against JK, played the 2 against Scott, and then I had a game against Sam. Sam and I are trying to get reps in for in preparation for Zyfy. And so we're testing the Mando, and that's going to be one of the things we're going to be talking about tonight in this episode, or I guess today in this episode. And so I ran Mando box plus, I must have been Dooku box, I think is what it was. Oh, is that right? I'm not positive. Sam will correct me if I'm wrong. Sam ran Dooku box, Mando plus Obi-2 plus Bounty Hunters. Oh, and also I lied. I was running Maul. I was running Maul and Fifth Brother. And who was my, it might've been Obi-2. Oh, it was Jango. It was Maul, Fifth Brother, and Jago. So it felt very, very strong. I guess we're going to talk about these guys later, but I will just say I was very unimpressed with Grief. And we talked about it on the Slack, and I think a lot of it is the fact that I wasn't really leaning into the bounty synergy, so he wasn't able to do all he was going to do. But so Sam's list of the Dooku box, and we have this meme that every time something comes out, we just say pair it with Dooku. But I will just say that the Mando with Dooku is crazy strong. Mando is a very strong figure, good offensively, incredible defense, diceless displacement, a reaction on wounding, very, very strong figure. And I am going to be using him for sure at Zyfy. But it was a really interesting game. It was close, but I felt like what happened was I was winning like very far ahead in struggle one. Then Grief pulls up and I need 2 steps on his tree in order to swing 1 point. And the problem is because he doesn't have movement for himself, his movement is for other figures. And just because of the nature of the board, I was not able. I have one option. The option is swing this 1 point. I need 2 steps. I'm attacking into bounties and I didn't get 2 steps. And because his expertise is garbage. And so not able to do that, Sam is then able to claw back, win struggle one, and then then win the game. So I was very unimpressed with him. I was super impressed with IG-11. I know IG is a 5-point support, but he's awesome. He really is awesome. And even though he's not spiking for damage, his multiple attacks is incredible. And he is so freaking mobile. So, very good games. All of my games are super good. I wanted to play Plo Vader because I wanted to get a few more reps with the Republic as I'm trying to decide what to do for the Zyfy Invitational. And they felt very, very strong. And I want to play Vader Ahsoka again because I think that Vader solves a lot of Ahsoka's problems. And Ahsoka's just a really awesome figure into Vader. I was not super impressed with Barriss. She did have like a cool swing. I think my problem with Barriss is just that she is extremely fragile, and having Ahsoka as your only clap back is just doesn't feel super good. So maybe it's better to go Ahsoka, Barriss, Clan Kreese, and then Dooku box, but then you're got weaker offense. So I don't know. I've got lots of thoughts, and that's going to lead us into what the main topic is. What I want to talk about is list building in a widening metagame. And the reason why is because So our Zyphi Invitational is coming up in just a little over a month, and we're going to have 32 people. It's going to be a big tournament, and we're going to have great prize support, and people are going to be bringing their A game. It's also obviously going to be a fun, you know, casual competitive tournament. Everyone will have fun, but people are playing to win, and a lot of very, very strong players are going to be there. And with that being the case, I've been trying to think about how to list build when the meta just feels like it's not really busted open, but it's starting to crack open a little bit. We know that Mamadouku is very, very strong. Maul is very, very strong. But with the addition of the Bad Batch, with the addition of Gideon, with more people playing Vader 2, it feels like... Oh, and with the release of the Mando, it feels like there's going to be a lot more diversity in terms of the meta. And it might be that in 3 months, we say, oh yeah, all these things were released, but it turned out Mamadouku was still just the best list. I hope that's not the case. It might be. But
I don't think it's the case now.
I don't think it is either. I mean, maybe. I think it might be the best list in terms of the best all-comers list or something like that. But one thing that I think is the case, ultimately, is that the best list is important, but reps and player skill is the biggest factor, right? I think strong players can run mediocre lists and do very, very well. And so
I think that really, like, to be completely honest with you, I think that there are four lists that are basically identical in terms of quality, and mm-hmm. it's just about piloting. Like, there's absolutely a list disparity between certain things.
Yep.
But for the most part, it very much is just the case that, you know, if you have some combination of Mama Talzin, Dooku, Maul, and Vader, there's, you know, with four primaries, two primary lists, there's, you know, what, eight different permutations there. So any of those are going to be probably pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And I think any one of them could win, you know, an event if they, you know, really went for it. So I think it's anyone's game. And I think, honestly, to your point, when we get Gideon and we get Mando and we get some other things, I think the thing that will fall out is Jedi Hunter Vader, not fall out, but like become less like common.
Yes.
Is going to be Jedi Hunter Vader and Talzin. Because I think mm-hmm. Dooku is going to stick around, and I think Maul's going to stick around in terms of being everywhere. But I think that Vader 2's ascendancy, I don't think Jedi Hunter Vader will fall out because he's not as good as Dooku or Maul. But just that I think that, in my prediction, Gideon's going to be very, very good, and I think he's going to pair better with Emperor's Servant than Jedi Hunter.
Yes. I completely agree with each of those points, especially because I think that Mando is going to slot into kind of a similar position that Mama T is slotting into, in terms of this defensive unit. Mama T is not defensive. This reactive unit that has strong activations, diceless displacement, and a reactive ability. I'm not saying that people aren't going to run Mama T. I think that Mama T Dooku will be very, very strong, but I can just see that Mando is going to be in a similar slot. So this episode is not going to be like, let's build for Zyphi. Let's think about what people are going to be running, which is going to be, there will be a lot of Mamadouku. So what are, you know, or there'll be a lot of Dooku and then permutations around Dooku. How do we play around that? That's not what this is. I want to more talk about list building in a more general sense, right? In terms of different approaches to list building. And the reason why is because, so I think there are a bunch of different approaches to list building. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to think, I want to run Mando because I really like his character in Star Wars. And I think he's a very strong character in Star Wars. So, you know, I've been looking at lists. Vince has his Empire list that I think is cool. Me and Sam have been talking about lists and trying to list build around this figure. And I was thinking about this in terms of, because I think that when you're trying to list build, there's obviously a bunch of different approaches, and I want to talk about four, and maybe we can talk about each of them as, you know, subtopics. We can talk about them, but I think first, and for competitive play, the one of the approaches to list building is just min-maxing. Asking yourself, what is the best list? Figure that out. and then get reps and practice that list. And so I think that this is, this is probably generally the best and most competitive strategy. You think, what is the best list? Who are the best figures? How do I pair them optimally together? Am I not being required to make sacrifices in terms of premier list building format in order to do that? This is also why I think Dooku is so good, is because Dooku and his list is a best stuff list that is super flexible. I also think this is why Mama T is good, even though I don't think the Dathos are, just because, again, she is very flexible in terms of who she can be paired with. She can be paired with Maul. She can be paired with Dooku. Like Scott said, she can be paired with Vader 1. There's just a lot of different choices that you can have. So there's the min-maxing. You ask yourself, what is the best list? Run that list, right? I think another thing is maximizing within a theme. So this, it would be like Matt in our play group. He asks himself, what is the best Republic list? He wants to run Republic, even if he thinks he's not running Dooku. He's not running Dooku's box. And so asking himself that question is putting himself in a different position, right? Because if he's not going to be able to run the Dooku box, he's not going to be able to run Mama. He's asking a very particular type of question that a lot of answers are just not available to him, right? So he wants to run Obi-Wan. He wants to run Plo. He didn't want to run Vader, but, you know, he's like, Vader is a Republic unit. And so, and Vader obviously makes a lot of things with Republic work. So Matt's first rule is not to build the most best, you know, most competitive best list, but to say, what is the best Republic list? And how do I assemble those pieces together in order to make that work? Then the next, and this is my approach, is I maximize with a unit. So I will take a unit and I will say, what is the best list, either showdown or premiere, for this unit? So a month ago, I was doing this with Luke, where I was thinking, what is the best list that I can run with Luke? And I don't think Boosh is involved in that list, right? And so that then puts these other pressures on you in terms of thinking like, well, if I'm running Luke and I can't run Boosh, what are my other play options? Like, what, Luke is a super flexible figure, but you've still got to find 7 points within his era. And now I'm doing this with the Mando, where I'm trying to think, what is the best list? Because I want to run this character. I think he's strong and I really like him. So what is the best list for the Mando? And I think this is where a lot of players are, especially with something like Star Wars. Scott's this way with Vader, where, you know, you love a figure. In the reason we were playing this game is because we love Star Wars. We love this miniatures game. And so you find this figure that you really like from the franchise and you build around this figure. Makes you, and then you get reps. You're excited to play it, et cetera, et cetera. And then the last is just maximizing for theme. So I think for competitive play, this is probably generally the worst approach. But it's like, well, what's the most thematic? So you're running Anakin and Obi-Wan. And you're running Anakin with Rex and the 501st and Obi-Wan with Cody and the 212th. It's a bad list. And I know people are going to say, no, it's not. I figured it out. No, it's not. It's a bad list. And, you know, but it's fine. If you want to run a list like that and get reps on it and play, I don't think it will do very well competitively, but you will have fun. And that's an absolutely acceptable approach, especially for casual play.
For me, when I think about like how you build a list, right, and mm-hmm. how you build it competitively, in that you're often talking about, I think, like you're thinking about, like, well, how do I optimize with this unit, mm-hmm. right? And for me, you know, obviously, we've talked about like I love Vader, but when it comes to competitive play, I don't need to play Vader. When in Imperial Assault, when before Vader was great, when Vader was a competitive option, I was willing to run him even if he was he was a little bit worse than IG-88, because I just loved Vader and I knew I could beat IG-88. You know, maybe it was, you know, a little bit worse than the math, but I was willing to run it because it was competitive. But when he wasn't competitive, I didn't need to run him, right?
So yeah.
It's like I'm not Matt trying to make the Republic work at all costs, right? It's just the thing that I like is good, so I'm going to run it. For me, the way I'm going to approach a lot of this stuff is, what are the things a list needs to be able to do, and how do you create a super consistent list to do that? So the three areas that I'm looking at, really four, are, because it's all about your ability to take an objective on your turn, right? Mm-hmm. Every turn you need to be taking an objective, and you're going to break the game by being able to take two, right? You're going to break it in your favor. So you need to have offensive capability, You need to have mobility. You need to have Dysis displacement. And you need to have some form of mitigation. And so for me, I'm going to build sort of backwards from that, right? I'm going to make sure that I have that in any permutation that I'm going to be dealing with. And in me, for me, that's sort of maybe not min-maxing, right, by kind of the traditional definition, but that's kind of all-rounding and creating a list that has the most powerful stuff.
Yeah, so Scott, I would think that's, you know, kind of a form of min-maxing, because I think that what I do is I look at a figure for me, and let's say if you are a true, I mean, you're going to say you're not going to run Vader, but if Vader is competitive, you're going to run Vader, right?
Yeah.
And so with that being the case, what I do is I look at a unit like the Mandalorian or Luke are great examples, because you look at them and you think, I think, what are these figures bringing to my list? And then how do I complement them? Now, a lot of the, and obviously one of the things that can always be said is run it with Dooku. That's fine. But another thing to think about is to think like, so what is the Mando bringing to the table? He doesn't have like insane damage unless he does his, unless he's on bring you in cold side where he, you know, rolls a gajillion expertise and just blasts someone into space. But he's good. He's got good, consistent damage. And he has incredible defense, absolutely incredible defense. He has, and that is both, he has reflect or deflect with, he has do the magic hand thing, and his defensive expertise is unbelievable. And he also has, this is, so his reactive ability is this is a way, and that this is the way. And when an enemy character wounds another allied unit, he is, the Mandalorian is able to heal to and then reposition. So he becomes very tanky, gets super mobile, and if your figures are getting wounded, he's healing more and then dashing around the board. Awesome figure, okay? So now with that, the question is, now how do I build around him? Let's leave aside, like, just bring the Dooku box. And I want to build a list that complements him. And if it's not possible to build a list that completely complements around him, and what I mean by that is, you know, he's best with Dooku, and he's probably not super good with Vader or something like that. I'm not saying that's the case. And so the question is to think, are there other matchups or other pairings I can put him with that are complementing his strengths? Or is it better to just think, well, I'm going to run him with Obi-2 and bounty hunters, and then I'm just going to run them with the Dooku box. And then, because that's just the best and he doesn't really work with anybody else. And then what I'm going to do is, obviously, the other two lists that I build in a premier list will pair well with Dooku, right? So that's just like one way in terms of thinking about the approach towards building with, you know, building from a single figure, as opposed to just thinking like, let's assemble the best squad. So what were you going to say, Scott?
I think that you're incorrect about what you called min-maxing.
Okay.
Because if we think about, so min-maxing is a term, for those of you, I'm sure many people have heard it, but they may not know the origin, is from Dungeons and Dragons. And the idea is that to min-max is to take, rather than creating sort of a well-rounded character, you build a character who does one thing, right? Mm. I am not good at talking. I am not good at magic. I am not good at sneaking or investigating. I hit things with a hammer and they die. That's the thing that you do. Or I am an amazing talker. I'm a performer. I can lie and cheat my way out of any scenario, but don't ask me to fight, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to someone who's sort of okay at a lot of things. And so to compare this, right? So we've talked about Vader Dooku, right? Who has an offensive suite, has a lot of force, has a lot of displacement, has mitigation, has mobility, right? So that's kind of a well-rounded doing a lot of things, as opposed to Ahsoka Dooku. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is built specifically to counter something like Vader Grievous, which is also sort of more of a min-max. It is all in on murder. You've got a little bit of mitigation and Dysis displacement, which is why that's a better list. But let's say you just replace those two with murder, you know, murder secondaries. You get a little bit more min-maxy. Or let's think about Matt's Obi-Wan Republic list that's just giving out hunkers left, right, and center, right? Obi-Plo. And it's just meant to, you know, be super, super defensive. I think that's sort of the way we think about that. So when we talk about, to your example with Mando, the idea is, you know, or if we talk about something like with Cad Bane or Hondo, how much do you go into the the synergy of bounty hunters, right?
Yeah.
If I'm min-maxing, I'm going to take every bounty hunter I can in order to, you know, get the specific synergies. And I think really what the comparative example we should pull on from earlier, and JK can speak to this, is Ewoks are min-maxing.
Mm-hmm.
And is that viable, right? And so you can ask that question, apply that to Mando. Because if you pull all the bounty hunters with Mando and really try and make what the bounty hunters are supposed to be doing work, that's min-maxing, as opposed to, well, Mando's good, the other stuff is good, let's just create all-around good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to add, it's tough to one-to-one that, right? I understand where Kenny came from at the beginning of the min-max. It's not that we're looking for singular best things that you do. We're looking for no dead activations.
Yeah.
That we want to minimize dead activations. We want to maximize movement. We want to maximize displacement or things along those lines. But Scott's right in terms of just that min-max conversation. To get back into the discussion we're having, I think Ewoks are a perfect example of why min-maxing doesn't actually work in Shatterpoint yet, at least. They are all about swarming. Ironically, we call them murder bears, but they don't really murder things very well. Their whole thing is out of activation movement,
yeah,
getting places, and then just trying to have as many things in bubbles.
Yeah.
The big thing about Ewoks is the low gray bubble and the either Leia or Chief Chirpa bubble.
Yep.
If you can get those bubbles really going, it's hard to move things out of that area. They're a swarm control list. I think one of the things that, coming kind of back around to a different point, that we would like to min-max is, I learned this from Twilight Imperium a handful of years ago, talking about Twilight Imperium, is sometimes you want things, you want whatever you're bad in, you want your list to be good in. If you are not if you don't want to think about how to, you know, go attack something, you might want a more attacky list. Hmm. If you think consistently, well, all I want to do is go in and punch things in the face, then you should actually probably, yeah, you want punch things in the face things, but you actually probably want more out of activation lists to balance yourself out a little bit.
Hmm.
That being said, Shatterpoint is all about the balance of both things. You need really good positioning, but also if you're not a very good positioned player, then getting things that can help you out of activation move are going to make your games better. If you are pretty wiggly on, well, you know, I often have things out of position, well, great, get something that's out of activation.
Yeah.
If you are someone who I just want to sit on points and I don't really kill things, well, then maybe you just want to get more activation killy things. Again, I think the best players probably just don't have that. But I think there's a wide band of under players, players who are new, players who are a little casual, who have, again, themes. I want to play OB, you know, I want to play Obi-Wan, I want to play Republic. Well, that's great. If you want to try and up your list, maybe instead of playing the 212, you play bounty hunters, or you play Clan Krees or something along those lines. That's just a better piece of it, but is slightly different.
Yeah, I think I should. So one, I'm glad for the clarification on min-maxing, because I have done Dungeons and Dragons twice with Scott and JK and a few other brothers. And so when I say min-maxing, what I more mean is you're searching for the best thing to the exclusion of other considerations, right? And so you're not thinking about, like, do I enjoy playing this figure? Do I like this figure? It's just, nope, I don't care. I'm a mercenary. What's the best thing, right? And so it's probably not, min-maxing is probably an inaccurate description, but that's what I mean. And
I kind of get what you mean, right? Like, you're...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll give you half credit.
There you go. Because for me, the thing is, I think about it like this. I think there is and there is nothing wrong with wanting to build the best list. And I think this is especially the case. We see this in card games that we play. And also with IA, we had a lot of experience with this, with what was kind of coming to what was the best list and figuring out how to play with and against that best list. So But what I more mean is, I don't think that's a lot of players' approach. I think a lot of players, when they're coming into a game like Shatterpoint, are not thinking about building the best list. Not because they don't want to win, but because that's not what interests them so much. And what more interests them is, you know, figuring out a particular figure and getting lots of reps in. Because I think that a player who has got a lot of reps on a figure that they enjoy will do better than someone who picks up the best list and, you know, tries to make it work. And I will point to Mama T at Adepticon as the perfect example of that. She has a sub 40% win rate in Swiss. So obvious, but she's also in all of the top eight lists, not all, but she's in a lot of the top eight lists. That tells you something about that figure in terms of she obviously is not just pick up and play. She might be in the best list, quote unquote, but just picking her up is not going to win you games, right? Whereas maybe a figure like Dooku and Jango and Magnus are more that way. You can pick up those guys and do very, very well. So that's more what I'm kind of aiming at.
Can I follow up with, I also think sometimes we list build, I don't want to say list build wrong, but if you're truly min-maxing, I actually think you might start with your secondaries and you work your way out.
Yeah.
I think secondaries, deciding what your secondaries are going to be, who you want to bring. And this is really where min-maxing, that optimizing, making the best things possible comes into play. Because realistically, if you're trying to min-max, you need Jango. You need Magna Guards of some sort. You know, you probably want a fifth brother. You probably want Obi-2. You probably want someone like Sabe. You need these really five or six secondaries that are just the best.
Yeah.
And then you get support or supports, and you pull supports in after that, and you have the three or four best supports, the one to two that play with them, and then you can throw primaries on top that support them. It just so happens that Jango and Magnus and Dooku fit exactly perfectly. If for some reason they changed it tomorrow and made Magna Guards four cost and you had to work around, you'd probably still just play Jango's and Magnus. You probably wouldn't play Dooku as much. But that's just kind of how it plays. I think if we start building kind of middle out, we would probably min-max a little bit better. And I get min-max.
JK, that's a really interesting point. I want to give a concrete example as we're kind of winding things down and talk about different things I've been thinking about in terms of having how to list build with Mando and how that will kind of shape what we've talked about, kind of shapes your choices. So like JK just said, what I thought was, obviously I want to run Obi-2 and I want to run Jango. And Dooku will be coming along for the ride because he's going to be with Jango. But I was thinking, like, what is the way to build around that? And I've thought about Vince's Empire list, where he's got Mando, Vader 1, Gideon, and Dooku. And he's running, so I don't know if this is his exact list, although I'm pretty confident this is close. He's got Mando, Obi-2, Dark Troopers, Vader 1, Stormtrooper Sergeant, Fifth Brother, Gideon, Death Trooper, Stormtroopers, and then the Dooku box. So this has zero synergy with Mando in terms of his scoundrel, or in terms of his bounty hunters. You've got a scoundrel, Gideon, and Jango, but it has lots of other kinds of synergies, right? And other kinds of list building strengths. You've got lots of diceless displacement. You've got really strong figures. And so as I'm thinking about that particular approach, I'm like, I like this, but it's not really leaning into the bounty hunter aspect, which is fine, because that's not why I'm playing Mando. I don't care about him being a bounty hunter. I just care about him being this cool defensive figure is probably the thing I like most about him, right? And so that doesn't stress me out a ton, but you might think like that doesn't feel right. And then you're thinking, like, what is Mando's best pairing in this list? Does he go best with Dooku? I think he does. Even though Dark Troopers, you're kind of wasting their coordinated fire. But then you think, well, maybe he can go with Vader 1 and Stormtrooper Sergeant and Fifth Brother. That feels very strong. You've got Diceless Displacement. Seems very good. And then Gideon is, I don't actually know where Gideon fits in all of this. Gideon is a figure that I'm really interested to play, and I'm just not totally positive where he sits. So that was one thing, right? In terms of, I was trying to think about that's more a min. I honestly think that's probably the most min maxing on the Mando, because I really just tried to surround him with the best units. Another list that I was thinking about was running him in a Republic list. And so that's with Vader, Rex, Arfs, the Bad Batch, and this is Hunter, Omega, and Tekko, and then Plo and Sabe. Because, spoilers, guys, I know I'm a little late to this party. Sabe's freaking amazing. And I don't think I think the Handmaidens are fine, but Sabe is so, 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 so good. And so and also the Bad Batch are all scoundrels, which is real, at least the ones that I'm bringing are all scoundrels, right? So Mando can synergize with the Bad Batch. And I don't think he synergizes very well with Plo and Sabe. Don't honestly know that. But also maybe he can go with Vader, right? So here's just another kind of thing where I'm thinking I want to lean a little bit more into the scoundrel thing and get a little bit more synergy with the Mando, even if I think it might be a little bit weaker, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. Also, I told you Sabe was good. I said this months ago.
Yeah, Sabe is super good. I mean, her mobility, her out-of-activation mobility is just so very, very strong. And so, she's got an incredible tree, an absolutely incredible tree. I also think that a lot of people have talked about with, like, a figure like the Mando. And I'm using Mando as the example because he's who I'm currently wanting to do a lot of list building around. But I've seen a lot of people talk about just, because Grief is... he's not bad. I don't think he's as bad. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's pawns bad, although he has a worse attack for sure. I don't know. I really like his ability to, you get an out of activation attack when someone activates someone from reserve. That's a cool ability. I just don't, his activations are so poor. He has no out of activation, or he has no movement for himself. His attacks are bad. So I'm just going to say, I don't think that he's going to go very well with Mandalorian. I think he's going to end up being under the curve, even if IG, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe IG is good enough with the Mando that it's able to overcome Grief's weaknesses. I didn't really feel that. But I know that players have talked about really leaning into the Mando's bounty hunter synergy. And I think that's also a great approach. Obviously, the best figure in the game, who is Jango, he is a scoundrel and he's a bounty hunter. I don't know if he's a scoundrel. I think he's a scoundrel, but he's definitely a bounty
hunter. I think he's just a bounty hunter.
Which, regardless, he is going to synergize very well with Mando. What's super interesting about Mando as you're trying to list build around him, and I'm really interested to see how this works out as we keep playing, is that Mando's biggest constraint is his era. It's just that there are not a lot of things that can go very well with him. So Sam brought OB2 and bounties. I think that's super strong. But what's interesting is, again, as we talk about this, when you know you bring OB2, I think, well, I'm if I see OB2, I'm immediately reaching for Vader, because Vader is does so much work with OB2, right? And so I'm immediately reaching for him. And then you feel like you're kind of, these decisions are getting made for you. And I think mostly that's just in my mind. I you don't need to run Vader with OB2. OB2 is obviously very strong, even if his offense isn't.
I think you do.
Scott and I are very similar in this position, where I think that OB2 and Vader is just like milk and cereal, right? It's so strong and it's very hard to want to do one without the other, just because they synergize so well together. But again, that might just be in my brain. I'm fine with that.
Well, I'm fine running Vader without OB2. I am not fine running OB2 without Vader.
Yeah, he just makes...
Yeah.
The reason I'm more bringing it up is just to say, when you start thinking about these decisions as you're list building around figures, you feel like a lot of your decisions are kind of going to be made for you automatically. And you want to resist that if you're going to be more creative with your list building, right? And that is especially the case as the meta widens up. As the meta widens, and in terms of being creative with your list building, thinking about... whether you're maximizing for a figure, or you're maximizing for competitiveness, or you're maximizing for your particular meta, obviously, or you're maximizing for a theme, you want to run the best Republic list or the best Mando list or Mandalorian list. There are all of these considerations are happening. And I'm not saying you should always reject what is common wisdom, because you shouldn't, because there's a reason why the community settles on Dooku is good, Vomity is good, 212th is bad, 501st is bad. There's a reason why these decisions, you know, why people make these judgments, and you should be careful about disregarding them. But you should also be thinking, you know, try to think creatively so that maybe you can be a part of the progress, right, in terms of pushing the meta forward. So,
well, and I think it's interesting because you have couched this entire episode in a conversation around how to build around the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting question, because I think generally speaking, if you want to build a really competitive list, I think, you know, and JK has already touched on this, but it's a thought I had as well, you know, before we even recorded, is you don't start with a primary.
Yeah.
Dooku is only Dooku because of the Magna Guards. Like, if you, like, the fact of the matter is that Talzin, Vader, and Maul are not separatists. If they were, they'd be on the same level as Dooku. And I still think Vader is, but, you know, we've ranked Talzin and Maul below. But if Maul was a separatist, and you could run Maul, Jango, Magnus to the same effect as Dooku, he'd be just as good as Dooku. And so, and if the Magnus get nerfed sufficiently, then, you know, Dooku's stock will drop. I'm not saying it'll go away, because Dooku's still a great figure on his own.
Yeah.
But when I'm, if I'm saying I want the best thing, as JK pointed out earlier, it's I'm going to go Jango and I'm going to do Magnus, and where can I take them, right? I'd probably start with Magnus, because they're the ones that actually really depend on having a separatist. Because there's going to be things that Jango is active bad synergy for some lists, but he's so good you don't care. It's like, Jango has no synergy. He's not doing the same thing anyone else is doing, but he's so good I don't care. Kind of the same with Obi-2. He may not synergize well, he'll be, oftentimes you're like, well, I'm going to take him anyway. And again, I think that he's really good if you can give him three extra dice that'll just heal all away.
Yeah. So
that's my criteria. But yeah, I'm happy but you know, in the thought of like, well, let's say I'm running, you know, Vader Inquisitors, there's going to be synergy that having another Inquisitor or an Imperial I could get, but I'm going to run Obi-2 because he just works really, really well in that scenario because he's just really good. So I think starting from the primary, you know, I get like, you know, Mando's strong and Mando's good, but you got to think about what is Mando, what is he enabling you to bring that is going to be doing a lot for you? And if the answer is Greef Karga, then it's not worth it, right? He has to be able to bring something that's going to bring more to bear, because your primaries only account for 1/3 of your activations.
Yeah. With Luke. So Luke, I think Boosh is a very inconsistent at best figure, and I don't think she's very strong, right? And so that being the case, that puts you in a weird bind with Luke where you're thinking, what runs with Luke? He faces a similar era restraint, I'm just going to say, in terms of what can go with him. And, you know, I've ran Stormtrooper Sergeant and Fifth Brother with him, Stormtrooper Sergeant and Stormtroopers with him, which does not seem like that should work. But Luke is very independent, and he is honestly just completely list agnostic in terms of where he can go. He's just a very strong single figure that is not doing a ton of cross synergy for your list. But with that being the case, then it's like, okay, well, now I'm putting Luke in this weird place where I'm running him with Stormtrooper Sergeant and Fifth Bro. And is that really the best thing for, you know, is that like, does Luke even have a place, right? I want to build for Luke. But if I'm building a premier list and I want it to be somewhat competitive, does he even have a place? And that's kind of for those of us who are wanting to play specific figures and then work around, you kind of have to ask those questions. JK, what were you going to say?
I think there are more good primaries than there are good secondaries and supports.
Yes.
I can run probably 10 good primaries. I could run... like Asajj was in a handful of top 8 lists, right?
Mm-hmm.
Asajj, yep. Ahsoka, Maul, Dooku, Obi, well, probably not Obi-Wan as a whole or by himself, Lumi, Vader, like the list goes on and on of different primaries that you can take. And so coming back around, if you're building for theme, you want to start with your primaries. But if you're really trying to build the best list, there are 4 to 6, 7 maybe really good secondaries and supports. Secondaries and supports. And so you are trying to find your way to get those into the list and finding a way to maximize how they play and what they do well and what they don't do well.
Yeah, I think that is a great point. there are, because a lot of primaries, Luke's a great primary. Maul's a great primary. Dooku's a great primary. There's lots of great primaries that JK is really right that your the tightness of the economy with your list building is with who's going to go with these incredible figures, right? And who's going to synergize. That's a great point.
Low Gray has the framework to be to not ironically be the best primary in the game, but his constraints have pulled him down so much with what he has to run to make himself go that it just doesn't help that much.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I'm glad we were able to talk about this, and it feels like it was a quick episode, but we are coming up on an hour, so we're going to call it. This is mostly me just wanting to talk out loud and talk through some things I've been thinking about in terms of list building, and specifically with my style of list building, right? List building from a figure and thinking about whether or not that works and how to make that work in the competitive format. And also just to make clear that all of the list building approaches that we've talked about for theme, within a theme, within a figure, just building the best list, they all work. And the person who is wanting to build the absolute best list will often not be the absolute best player just because he or she is, you might be playing against someone who has played 200 games with Ahsoka Lumi and has just figured out how to make that list work in a way that you don't really know how to respond to. And so, you know, play what you love, obviously, because the whole point of the game is to have fun. And for some people, it's like, well, winning is fun. That's what I want to do. That's great. Go for it. Do it. Have fun. But, you know, I wanted to talk through this and just kind of get my thoughts to paper, because as we're approaching Zyfy, we're going to have a little bit more serious of a conversation about list building in terms of list building for the meta that we think we're going to be facing. And hopefully that'll be a good resource, competitive resource for players.
I will say, you brought that up. I do want to say one thing about that, like, especially in regards to like, well, winning is fun community. It's like, it is not mutually exclusive that building a competitive list means you're not playing for fun.
Yes.
Right. I cannot tell you how many people I've sat across from on the table who've went, well, I built what I thought was fun because I care more about fun. And it's like, yeah. And the rest of us don't.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I was like that. Every time I hear that, I just think, I'm going to lose this game, but I'm going to pretend like I'm morally superior. And that's why I've lost the game, because I brought something that isn't as good. It's like, that's fine. If you want to bring the thing that you think's thematically fun, like, that's cool. Like that, there's nothing wrong with that. But like,
yeah,
you're not like, you are not the person who is playing the game right and everyone else is doing it wrong. It's like, there's no wrong way to play.
Yeah, that is such a great point, Scott, and absolutely true. I think that a lot of people use an excuse to say, like, well, I don't want to run Dooku because Dooku's easy mode. And I have heard people say that. And it's like, I do think Dooku is obviously has a pretty high floor. He also has a very high ceiling in terms of making him work. I understand that. But I think if you want to say, I don't want to run Dooku as a challenge, that's totally fine. I think, like Scott says, using it as a way to excuse the fact that you're not going to win the tournament is generally poor form and is not very good sportsmanship, right? Like, people don't want to feel bad for running something that they think is strong, and you shouldn't do that. And also, you know, people want to have fun, and winning can be fun, and seeing Luke go off can be fun, and watching Grievous, you know, ace one shot someone can be fun. Like, there's a lot of things that can be fun about this game, and I think we should generally be pretty cautious about, you know, policing how other people are building their lists. So.
Yeah, and if you want to run some like janky, like out of left field thing, like let's say you want to bring Lothcats to a world tournament where nobody has ever seen them played and do super well with them and get into like the top 8 of, you know, in the world tournament. This is the last AA Worlds, for those of you who don't know, where David Gao brought a list that nobody had ever seen, heard of, or even conceptualized.
It was so awesome.
And it was amazing to watch. So, like, yeah, I mean, because there's definitely a thing where it's like, hey, I want to run something off meta. And, like, there's something satisfying about that. And that's really
absolutely
cool. And so, like, that's it. And again, like I said, if you are like, no, I'm a Republic person, I want to run it, like, that's still super respectable, and that's great, you know. And Matt's riding that, and like, one day Matt will win a tournament and be like Captain Holt after, you know, with his old balloon wrench and go, vindication.
That's exactly
and,
right.
You know, it'll be great.
Yeah, exactly right. Again, like, it takes all kinds, right? The net gathers of every kind. And so, and yes, eventually Matt will win a tournament and he will be vindicated. But all right, well, that's it. That's it for this episode. We want to thank everybody for listening. We hope everyone has a ton of fun. Enjoy playing Shatterpoint. We've been playing a lot of games recently. I've been playing a lot of games recently. And it's been a ton of fun, and I cannot wait for the new figures to release. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night.